From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. Medical researchers know placebos like sugar pills work, but they don't know why. Harvard Medical School professor Ted Kaptchuk is trying to find out. He's a professor of medicine at Harvard University Medical School. Professor Kaptchuk, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I want to start just at the beginning here. What exactly is a placebo?
Well, the common definition of a placebo is an inert substance, like a sugar pill or a saline injection. And the placebo effect is supposedly the effect of that substance. But that's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. How can something have no effect and you say it has an effect? So the way I talk about placebo is it's what surrounds the pill or the injection. What I mean by what surrounds is the ritual of medicine. Everything that surrounds that pill or injection that's not the active ingredient, and that includes the ritual of medicine, the doctor-patient relationship, and the power and effects of the imagination, trust, and compassion.
So that's fascinating. So if I'm getting a shot of an actual medicine, there could still be a placebo effect surrounding the application of that medicine.
Absolutely. The placebo effect is not only the way we measure it often in relation to giving a sugar pill or a saline injection, but in fact, placebo effects surround any medication or many medications. For example, if you give someone morphine who's in pain, but they don't know they're getting the injection, say by an infusion through a saline infusion, they have an effect. But if you give the injection in front of them with a needle so they see they're getting treated, the effect is twice the amount of pain relief, meaning morphine has an effect, but the placebo adds to, or the ritual of medicine or the doctor-patient encounter adds to its effectiveness.
Harvard Medical School professor Ted Kaptchuk studies why placebos work, and that's a big part of his research now. But before this, you used to study actually Chinese medicine and acupuncture. How did that prepare you to become interested in this research?
Well, I'm not sure it prepared me very well, but I was interested in what makes acupuncture work. And I didn't want to get into the controversy of acupuncture more than placebo. I was hired to do that at Harvard Medical School. And I said, you know, that's an interesting question, but the more interesting question for me is, what is actually this placebo effect? So in some ways, I'm not doing active acupuncture. I'm really looking at the ritual of medicine. And acupuncture is a big ritual, so it has a big placebo effect in the same way that many procedures, like surgery, have a big placebo effect for some conditions, not all conditions.
I want to get into some of your research. One of the findings that I'm really fascinated is just whether or not it makes a difference if people know they're taking a placebo.
Yeah, people like that study of ours. It's not so elegant, but it's a nice proof of concept. The question: people believe that you have to think you're getting a medicine, or at least see the medicine and believe it might be a real medicine to have a placebo effect. For a lot of reasons, we started doubting that by interviewing our patients, and we did a small randomized controlled trial comparing people with irritable bowel syndrome in two conditions. One is no treatment. That was just to see people get better all the time and illnesses wax and wane. Or we gave them open-label placebo, which was we told them it was placebo, we told them it might work, it has an effect in randomized controlled trials, and they can doubt it if they want to, that'd be fine, but do take two pills twice a day. And in fact, the people who were taking placebo had twice as much relief as the people who were doing nothing. And it's a small study, it needs to be replicated by other people, and it has to be replicated in other illnesses, but it's a kind of interesting conundrum. How can people have a placebo effect even if they know what they're taking is cellulose or sugar?
Does that mean I could create my own placebo effect and try to heal myself?
Well, first of all, I don't know, but I can say that I speculate that the placebo effect is really embedded in a healing relationship, the relationship of physician, doctor, acupuncturist, and patient. And I think that that relationship and that ritual is probably a major contribution to the placebo effect. In fact, we did a study where we just gave a placebo without a doctor-patient relationship, and we gave placebo with a very intense, what we called augmented doctor-patient relationship, which we published in 2008 in BMJ, and we found that just the pill, and that was a fake needle had a very small placebo effect compared to no treatment. We had a no treatment control. But we gave a very schmaltzy doctor-patient relationship with the practitioner expressed empathy and compassion and attentive listening and actually did 20 seconds of, let me think about this, thoughtful silence, touch the patient. It was a huge boost in the placebo effect. So directly to your question, I think the doctor, a clinical encounter, a healing situation, is probably going to make much more of a difference than you going and buying a pill over the counter in a store.
Harvard Medical School professor Ted Kapchuk studies placebos. Professor Kapchuk, so placebos can do a lot of amazing things. What are the limitations? What can't placebos do, at least as far as you know?
I think that it's not a panacea. For example, I don't think that placebo treatments, I'm pretty confident I can say this, don't lower cholesterol. I don't think they change blood pressure. I don't think they shrink tumors. I don't think they kill bacteria. And so there's definitely a limitation. I think where we're seeing the most placebo activity is in illnesses of self-appraisal, like pain, depression, anxiety, fatigue, feeling that your digestive system or urinary system isn't just working well. So I think there's definitely limitations about what we're talking about in terms of the ritual of healing having an impact on clinical outcomes.
And you've also studied some of the history of placebos, which used to be prescribed all the time, and doctors supposedly wouldn't tell their patients, just go ahead and give them placebos. Why did they do that, and why did that change?
Well, we know from the late 18th century till about 1960, that's a long period, physicians routinely gave placebos to patients. It's very well documented. In this country, until 1965, most hospitals, you could write an order for placebo red tablet or placebo saline injection red color. What happened is, and that was related to the ethics of beneficence. The physician or the healer is supposed to help the patient get better at all costs. What's transformed in this period after World War II is that the placebo became a control in the randomized controlled trials, and people felt that they had to be informed, and the ethics shift from paternalism, benevolence, to informed consent, transparency in the respective person. And what happens is after the randomized controlled trial becomes widespread and adopted is that the placebo goes to being very powerful, but you're not allowed to use it. And at least the normative ethics at this point says that giving placebo with deception is wrong. That's the normative ethics. And you can ask for informed consent like in a controlled trial, but in fact, clinically, it's frowned upon by most healing professions in the States.
So if placebos help people, should we, and it does involve some deception, should we return to that period? I mean, is it a bad thing that went away?
Well, I think that really is going to involve a long process of discussion with patients, doctors, and nurses and other kinds of healers. And I also think that we need more evidence. That little study that you referred to about the fact that we seem to be able to give a placebo, tell people it's placebo, and it had a big impact, that needs to be replicated over time. It needs to be understood more clearly. It's still in infancy. But from my personal perspective, I think that if we could use placebos ethically without deception and reduce the amount of medication people take for various conditions around self-appraisal, like pain, depression, it would be a good thing to happen. But I think medicine only changes very slowly, with some exceptions. So that's my answer to that question.
All right. Ted Kapchuk, thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate your courtesy. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
He's a professor at medicine at the Harvard Medical School, and he studies placebos.